What's popping? Welcome back to another Wolves Den. And I got somebody in here that's definitely going to be on fleek. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what she's going to pop up with. She could have any type of damn analogies. This shit go crazy. But we in Wolves Den with Tandy from Quick Stop F1. What's going on, little sis?
Hey. I've missed doing content about Formula One, Jay. Like, did you not feel like a whole pause was just not enough? Like,
hell no, because I ain't stopped working.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Your boy stayed cranking. I stayed working.
You stay working. Okay, fair.
You and Nasha took a break. And even Nasha was like, damn, I took that hiatus. Y'all took one of them Kyrie Irving sabbaticals.
Honestly, and you know what? Like, we keep saying it, but we literally text each other and we were like, do you want to continue doing this podcast? But obviously it was like a moment, like a 2 second, 0.2 second, like, do you know what I mean? But right. We're back.
I'm glad I'm about to, what the hell? That's what a hiatus will do to you. It started how you questioning yourself, you know, your sanity. You start questioning like, damn, do I really want to do this shit? Do I not want to do it? Hell no, I stay on the ball. I stay on the grind. I don't care what it is. Plus my family keep me up. You know what I'm saying? They hold me accountable. So we're going to get into some things. We're going to talk about some Formula One. But first, mm-hmm. I want to talk about something that's very important, especially to me, especially when it comes to women in the space, motorsports, or anything outside of what people think women should be damn doing. You know, it irks me. I think women should be able to flourish and be productive and be competitive and be whatever they want to be on an equal playing ground, and let that be that. So how is it for you as not only a woman, but a Black woman in a content creator space of Formula One type content? How has that been for you? Because I know one time I almost had to pull that out on some people. So how is that for you?
So obviously, you know, like, it's very much difficult just being a woman, let alone in Formula One. I meet so many people when I do this podcast, when I interview people, and I'm also in the music industry. So I already kind of knew that sort of background anyway. But Formula One is so different because while the music industry is definitely like amongst so many things in this world that are moving super fast, unfortunately, Formula One is amongst that is moving super slow. So music's in 2023. Formula One, I would say, is still very much in the 80s, 90s.
Damn.
Yeah, that's just how I feel about Formula One. And so being a Black woman in a space where nobody, first of all, expects Black people to be into Formula One. Let's just start there, period. Like, I grew up in a family where I was the youngest of all my brothers. And my dad used to take us to like MotoGP races. He used to take us, he loved racing. Our family's all about cars. So that's how I got into it, from a love of like Black family tradition. And it's so hard for people to actually think of Black people having this thing, but we do. We have our nerdy, this is what we do. Yeah. The online abuse is always excessive. I feel like as a woman in general, people question what you say about Formula One, question your knowledge, like, because they just want to be a-holes in the best way to kind of say it possible. So I don't want to say that it's the most easiest thing. It's 100% not. And obviously when you bring race into it, it becomes even harder. I think as a whole, being a Black woman content creator, you always do have to work 10 times as hard to get half of what they have. And that comes into even being a Black content creator in this space. But I love it at the same time. Like, I love that when me and Yasha do our live shows, I will have Black girls, Black women who have flown out from Scotland to come out and see and support another woman, and girls who say to me, like, I didn't even know there were other people, like other women in the space, and you speak so confidently and you've inspired me to kind of start my own thing, or kind of, and that's cool. That's the most rewarding part of it all, to be fair. Like, I have a very tough shoulder on me. Like, I can take the stick from a lot of people and some people can't. So I do like to see myself as like a shield to Black women in motorsport. Because when I started, I didn't have no one to mentor me. Right. So yeah, that is being a Black woman in motorsport.
Well, damn it. Listen, I don't know Don't come up in here being sadiddy, Tandy. Nah. Like I heard a-hole. Why you didn't just say asshole? Why you didn't just say it like this?
Is this the wolves den?
The name itself should tell you. Like you get your ass ate up in here. you go ahead and let that shit fly. Like I know somebody up there was looking like.
Be polite, but okay. I hear it now. I hear it. Right. I will let things ring off.
Let it ring off. You know, yeah. So I definitely get that, and I definitely have seen that and been inside the conversation, inside the room when you've gone through some of those things.
Yeah, man.
It is definitely very unfortunate. It is something that I think you said the 80s. I'm not going to be like that. Might not be too far off from the mentality of some people. Even, you know, coming out, being a content creator as far as that's concerned. But I can tell you something that is very beyond fucking awesome is the fact that if you look at the faces that's in this room, just even right now, it's mixed. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We got a plethora of people from different places in the world, women, men of color. And that's what I love about my community. So I think that itself is evidence that there is a turning of the tide, that we all can come and join together and have a good time. So there's a change definitely happening in there. And somebody is not always a representation of the whole. I got great people. So you in good company, but you in feisty company. You got to watch out for Uno. And I think somebody in here might be waiting for like a, I don't know, some type of Madagascar type quote or something that you might be spitting. I don't know what you might come up with. I ain't going to call him out. So let me ask you this. Who's your rookie choice? Because we got these rookies that hit the grid. If Galacticus was in here, he would tell you they got one more race to prove themselves. You know, we got Nick DeVries, who's probably like, he's probably like a rookie who got held back three times with the experience that he has on the grid. And I, for one, thought he was going to be a little bit more successful than he is. We got Oscar Piastri, who went through a child custody dispute, got two parents arguing over Alpine, is now receiving child support from McLaren. And then we got Logan Sargeant, you know what I'm saying? Mr. I was Magna, but now I'm not, you know, so we haven't seen the hat come out yet. So hopefully not. Who's your rookie choice? Who are you choosing for your rookie?
When discussed, I said Logan. Very shocking, Logan. I know. So I took Logan because, first of all, one is in a sinking ship off a team. McLaren, and then with Nick, I'm a bit like, I'm not sure about him. I feel like he's getting his ass handed to him a bit. So my best bet at the moment is the American, actually. Yeah, because he's not doing that bad, is he?
No, he's not doing that bad, not in my opinion. I actually kind of a bit more surprised about his performance over the other two, especially Nick DeVries. I thought Nick was going to do better, but Yuki been like, man, I know Helmut vouched for your ass, but I'm about to try to give you that business. You're not Gasly. I like Gasly. I don't really know you, dog. So I think he's been really trying to do his thing, even though he cried on camera this past race because K-Mag sniped him out. I'm not going to hold
honestly,
that.
I've been saying this, like, Pierre, honestly, someone we need to watch this season. Like, I love Pierre. I love the way he drives. So, do you know what? I'm happy with Pierre. Everything.
Are you?
I'm really happy with Pierre. Like, Nyasha loves to say that he's not, but I love Pierre.
Right. Gasly. You like Yuki too?
I love Yuki so much. Like, Yuki's...
Is it because he's short? You like him because he's short? Why do you like Yuki? Because last season he didn't... I know. That's what I'm saying. It's bias. It's short people bias. Like, you liking Yuki because you might be short. But Yuki, last season, all he did was yell on the damn mic a lot. You know?
Yes, he did. Okay, fair play. Yes, he did. Right. I'm going to say last season, you know, it was a bit touch and go. And then I started hearing conversation. I started jumping on these... You know, in December, as content creators, we start just jumping on spaces just for, like, that last bit of hit of Formula 1.
Right.
And I'm hearing talk of people saying, oh, I think they shouldn't even renew Yuki's seat. I'm hearing people saying, does Yuki have one more year left? And look at him.
Right.
Races, he said, this is why I'm out of Formula One, bitches. Hey. He's not doing that bad, you guys.
That's true. I'm gonna give you that. That's true. He's not actually not doing bad. Like, what? He finished 11th in both races, just outside of points.
And he just slightly got pushed over. He just needs to be meaner, you know, get a punch in him.
Be meaner?
Yeah, he needs to stop being bullied out there in them tracks. Yuki folds too soon.
Okay, I might get you that.
Folds too soon.
he got a bigger bark than his bike, huh? Yeah, just a little bit. All right, okay. And so what about Oscar? What do you think? I think he's in a falling ship, but what do you think about him? Like, do you think Lando gonna usher him out like Sainz, which technically wasn't an usher out? It's like Sainz, like, I want to go drive for Ferrari. I ain't sticking with this shit. But then he did really usher out Danny Rick, you know? And I thought Danny Rick was gonna have more in him, but now, you know, he riding a Spezda, doing the Force Gump trip across America. You know, he dancing for Yeti, sponsoring boots. I mean, it's not a bad job to have. You know, you get paid millions just to show up and be a face of Red Bull Racing whenever you show up, because he ain't showed up yet. But
cowboy, I mean, hat and smile, you know.
There you go. Woody, you know what I'm saying? He collecting that check for being a Toy Story character. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Simple. But yeah, I've never actually been too much of a Lando Norris fan. Love the McLaren guys. Love their merch, by the way. I can say it now. I was the Golf McLaren social media manager.
Oh.
All last year, by the way. Some people did not know. This is exclusive information.
Look at that. Look at that. Y'all getting to see this shit she dropping. How was that?
Well, I had to be neutral. Do you know what I mean? I had to be, yes, like cheering them on. But what I definitely found as it went on and on, how many more times can I say, same time again, guys, we'll try again next week. We'll try again next week. How many more times can I say that? Like, it wasn't getting interesting. But anyway, yeah, so okay. I'm ready to talk my truth. I'm not really a fan of Lando too tough.
Right.
Have they actually started like a title battle, like between those two? Like, who's doing better?
I don't think it matters. It's like zeroed out right now. You know, and really with Oscar getting just past Lando, they making big news about that in his last race that Oscar, you know, gets past Lando. Plus he went in for front wing damage, but then as a byproduct, Lando had to go in as well. So it's really kind of like, it's mush right now. It's like a big push right now. It's like just nothing there. It's like a whole of nothingness. So it's,
if they were to battle, who would you take? I think
I'm going to choose the adopted child that's under custody.
Oh, really?
Child support. Yeah, because they way more scrappy. Like, listen, I think it takes a certain characteristic for somebody that, even though has never had the opportunity in Formula One, has been in the back room like sparring, you know, you getting ready. Like every day you get ready, but you never get that chance. Yeah. And then Alonso hops out the back window and just leaves the house and leaves you stranded. And they like, yo, we really do want you as a kid. You know, we want you here. Like, he's like, screw you. I don't want you. And I want new parents. You know, and these days, kids can tell their parents to just suck off and then go sue them and get child support and go find some other parents. And that's what Oscar did, right? So he jumped teams, then had a custody dispute. And I think now he's scrappy. So I don't think he's going to let Lando have it.
Yeah, because it's like he has a lot more to prove, doesn't he? I think a piece of me kind of wants Lando. How do I say this politely?
You don't have
humbled?
To. If you want to.
Humbled.
You want to humbled. Ooh, humbled. You want to have some humble pie.
Slice of the pie.
Damn.
Because the boy can get cocky. This is the same guy, guys. You've got to remember, this is a guy who came out like 2 weeks ago and said that he could probably beat Lewis Hamilton, which is a bold statement.
It's a lie. It's not even a bold statement. It's just a lie. It's just a lie.
It's just a lie, bro. So I would kind of like to see him humbled.
I am mad at that. So we really we're in the same path, going the same direction. We just got two different type of engines. You know what I'm saying? I like it. I like it. Okay, so
I'm in a W14. You're in a W13.
Damn. I mean, that's way more fucked up than your car. Why can't I be in the W? It is. Like, why can't be in the W14 testing and you be in the W14 season? Why can't be the preseason W14?
Because I quite like the old black, you know.
You
like
do? Carbon, okay. You know? I'm going to go ahead. If I got to take another car that's comparable but still not great, I'm going to go ahead and be the SF23. I'll just go ahead and be that. I'll be that. Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay. I was gonna say something mean.
Go ahead. What were you going to say? You
could
say
it. I was going to say you could either be that or you could be the recycled bumper from a Haskell.
Oh, that's fucking horrible.
You know the one that's super gluing after broken in half every race?
Right.
You know, let's put a bit more super, that one.
Like, you know, that's so bad that I will put you in PK's Crashgate Renault. so disrespectful.
You got rude.
That's who you are.
That's why you couldn't do yet. Fair. Right. He said it, you guys. Come right. for him, not I. He said it. Okay.
So let's get a little bit of your feelings before they get on, because I'm about to let them loose. How are you feeling about Merk right now? What's your feelings like? Where they got you?
I'm gonna say delusion is key. Oof. Good thing I am delusional. It's what I just keep muttering under my breath. Okay. I turn the TV on. I'm like, let's turn it off again. Good thing I'm delusional. And then I'll walk off. And honestly, it bought me the most amount of peace. So that's how I feel about Mercedes at the moment.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And how you feeling about, you liking or you loving Max and Josh? They whole, you know, I call them Jocelyn. You know, how you feeling about Jocelyn and Maxine? How you feeling about their characteristics out here on the track with the hating on Perez? Like the face. They got the scratch your ass and be glad face. It's real.
You know what? Like, all skin folk are not kin folk. And that is all I'm going to say.
Damn. Yeah. All right, well, Wolves Den is about to open, and I got the first question that's been primed up and ready. This man been waiting for the lights to go out. Musa, I'm going to lower your hand, unmute yourself. You got the mic.
Ave Tandi.
Hello.
Sorry about that. I just had two mutes again.
Hello,
Musa. Quick question. Nervous. What, you nervous, Musa? I ain't never seen you. Are you nervous, man? Come on now. Fire that off. No. Spin hot fire. Dollar. Let's go.
Not at all, Jay. Tandy, I saw you speaking to Jay about just the obstacles that we have in Formula One from a woman's perspective. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wanted to leave this question for later, but I thought it would be best to ask it now. Mm-hmm. In your mind, what would be the optimal way to optimize integration for women in the sport outside of what's been done already? What can we do
to make
the sport even better?
I think now that's a great question, by the way, Musa. I think that, you know, content creators, so I work, Musa, in content creation. That's me all round. And I work for a creative agency, and I do editorial around a lot of big brands, Adidas, Audi. I've worked with them all. And so sometimes I will get a big long list in my email, and it will be, for example, we are sponsoring an award show, and we want to put on a whole list of content creators and people who people are influenced by, and we want you, Tandy, to approve this list. And I'll get this list, and it'll just be white content creator, white content creator, white content creator. It'll be so whitewashed, right? And I think, obviously, that's awful. And I think in Formula One, that is exactly what is happening. Like, at the moment, within creative agencies, within kind of the talks of social media, within PRs, they don't know what to do with Formula One. They know it's popular now. They know the young people are getting into it. They know Drive to Survive has, like, bought it out, but they just don't know what to do with it. And so they will just palm off any random content creator who they think, he watched Drive to Survive. He tweeted that he liked Drive to Survive, has no idea. And this is what they're pushing. And unfortunately, what it is particularly in the UK, is that we have a lot of white-owned podcasts with all males. And these people are being chosen for a lot of things. They are being championed by the likes of BBC Sounds, like they're championed by all these PRs because they're just regurgitating the same shite. And they are the people who get the light. And so when anyone's looking for anything, they're literally just regurgitating the same shit. And most of the time, unfortunately, all the shit they're regurgitating is the Sky F1 shit. And we already know Sky F1 chats shit. So... Do you know what I mean? So we're just put in a position where to actually uplift women and black women is actually just continuing, you know, to support Quickstop F1, to continue to buy my merch, to continue to allow me into spaces like this where I can educate you on how to do it. And putting people like Denny, FIA girly, you know, people like that who actually are doing it for a love of sport and aren't just doing it because it's something that just started yesterday. This content creation thing is not easy. Like, putting up your own audience, like maintaining your audience, it's hard, it's difficult, it's not easy. And for someone to come along who has no idea, who's just been picked for the color of their skin or for their gender or for the fact that, you know, they have a large following because they sell clothes, what the fuck do they know about Formula One when there's so many people out here who aren't trying to regurgitate Sky F1's shit? And right. We are actually calling out the bullshit. First of all, we are jumping on our podcast and we're saying, do you know what, I went to Silverstone and they had 3 women's toilets. People who are actually coming out and fucking saying it for what it is.
Damn.
The people.
Damn. So, and then that shit. If you didn't get that, it's shit. Mm-hmm. I love it. That's what I'm talking about. Now, I know somebody that don't mind dropping F-bombs and shit bombs, and she got it next. Mary, I'm going to lower your hand. You got the mic. Unmute yourself.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Tandy. I said TK. I said you've got to get Queen Tandy on.
Oh, Mary.
Yeah, both her and Will was like, I said, you know, I'm reaching out.
I'm effing and jeffing all over the podcast, guys. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but I'm normally like that as well, Candy. But I will be at the next quick stop live. I'm making a point because I was ill the last time. But my question is, Shady Russell, what is Toto going to do about Shady Russell? I told everybody last season, that next season you will see the real Shady Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is he turning into Nico? Because I'm not having that crap.
Mate. George Russell, so because...
Good question, Mary. I'm going to give Mary credit before she did say that shit. Go ahead. I know
Mary's got my back. But yeah, so with George Russell, obviously... there was this whole thing that came out Monday where Sky F1 very quietly whispered and were like, actually, we falsely reported that he denied team orders. He actually didn't deny team orders. Still kind of shady. I still feel, I don't know, like with George, if he did deny team orders, you are right by saying, Mary, it was very, very shady. Makes me look at him sideways. Because, you know, you then have to start the debate of, did anyone see me tweeting Bottas versus frigging George Russell? Like, now we have to start looking back and saying, oh, but did we want Bottas? But we didn't, you know what I mean? Like, it's so simple. Like, don't just, yeah. If he is shady, guys, it's very scary. Yeah, you're very right. Major side eye. I think he's got one more. Yeah, like he's got like one more. Like
he got one more mishap with you.
Mm-hmm. Even though I would like to note that, you know, I did say it back in 2021. I did say, "Who the fuck is this guy?" And you, man, all wanted to attack me. I did say it. I said
I didn't attack you,
Russell kid.
Why? And I remember you said he was the dog, the little fight dog.
You know what I mean? He's a George Russell.
Russell.
But who the fuck is it? But when you gas people, Jay, that's what it is. I keep saying it.
Right. Stop
gassing people up because now, what are you doing? Him and Lando in a group chat talking about who the fucking beat Lewis. Are you guys crazy? Please remember delusional. Who your father is. Please remember who's been feeding your asses. Please remember whose poster you guys were kissing goodnight every night saying soon. Remember that.
One day, baby. One day. One love. Uno, now I'm going to let you know. Uno, he got a 6-shooter. Uno coming in. Uno, I'm going to lower your hand. Unmute yourself. You got the mic.
Hello, guys. Hello, Sandy.
Hello. How are you?
Pretty good. And I'm also going to join up. I've been checking out the quick stop, so I'm going to hook up with you guys. Because I said Jay and Cameron, and along with Nesha, is the tree for me. Amigos, free from Amigos, right?
Ask these men about the group chat that they have that they won't let me in. They have a group chat, by
don't
the way.
Don't worry, you get in. It will be no, more she than won't,
she
trying.
Just called me a damn, what she called me? She called me a goddamn posse. Go ahead, Uno, you got it.
My question is to you, right? Since you've actually been into this Formula One, how long has it been orientated? And when was your generation of loving this F1, and I'd also like to know your opinion and how well do you think Mercedes are going to keep on keeping up their records, or do you think that they're falling off the pod?
Okay, so first of all, your great question, by the way. So yeah, as I stated before, like, I got into Formula One through my brothers. My hero within Formula One has always been Lewis Hamilton. It was very, you know, you turn on Channel 4 and you see this black boy, why not support him? Because you might as well, right, you know what I mean? Right. So I would definitely say Lewis is my generation fully. Lewis brought fashion into it. He bought rights. He got on one knee and he said, I am going to defend a black woman. And so that is my generation to a T. In terms of Mercedes, I have been kind of comparing Mercedes kind of like, well, I don't want to say downfall. Their escapade.
Yeah, escapade or slump. Say slump. Maybe a slump.
Just glitch. A slump.
They're glitch. Okay, I like that. I like glitch.
Yeah,
okay.
They're glitch, like glitch era. Mercedes glitch era. I don't want to compare it to, you know, Ferrari when they had their big, you know, Ferrari was big back in the day, and now the fans are just kind of, you know, people who hold on to stuff that happened before a halo was even invented. Embarrassing. I don't want to be in that. Right. I don't want to be in that section with them. However, we do just have to swallow it up. Listen,
it's rough.
You guys, it's rough. Bro, I have a whole podcast around these people. You think it's not killing me inside? I have a whole podcast.
It's rough.
It's rough. Imagine you doing a whole podcast on we are Lewis Hamilton stands and now our boy is in fifth place. Next team. Anyway, let me know.
I can tell it's rough for you. You can really tell it's really rough for you. is rough.
I hope that answers your question.
All right. Hey, Will, you got the mic. I'm going to lower your hand. Unmute yourself.
All right. How's everyone doing?
Hello.
Good, good. By the way, Will, I got your tracking number coming for your gift card today, bro.
Okay, thank you very much.
Roger that.
And so let's start off usually with a little thing of, you know, giving your flowers to people. Always give them while they can still smell them. So, Tandy, you don't know what I mean when I say this. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here.
You're here with us. Yes. By the way, me and Yasha got so drunk yesterday. He came to meet me for a lunch break. It was my lunch break. He came to meet me. And we had a meeting and he bought me ramen and he was drinking Asahi beer. And I was like, I'll have one if you're having one. So I took it too far. Anyway, the way where I'm going with this story is we both decided to get, you could have been anywhere in the world, tattooed on us. So
yo.
That's
drunk as fuck. And I saw the picture when you sent it to me. I said, is it lunchtime? God damn, they got them two big ass beers. Yeah, you got drunk as fuck. Whoa, Will. What goddamn.
I wasn't thinking, like, is someone gonna check, like, there's a beer there? Like, Tony, there's a full on beer. But, you know, oh well.
Yeah. It was a two-story beer, Will, but go ahead, bro.
No problem. So also wanted to follow up with that to just say that just the women involved in Formula One and the fact that we have black women involved in Formula One as well, just to give your props to Denny, FIA Gurley, that I see you guys collaborate with as well, you guys being in that space, which is amazing. And also just to see the diversification of what you guys are doing. So the first question is, how was it to do the Vanity Fair article? Mm-hmm. As far as that experience goes, I think that's a big one right there. Big plus. And wanted to see what your experience was on that. And also just as far as, again, working with different people from different backgrounds, are you ever going to work with the Kid Mero again?
Okay. So, great question.
Bro, don't think I see how you snuck that in there. That was real nice too, bro. Double up. Good job. You slick with that shit. He's good. Go ahead, Dad. You got it.
So with the Vanity Fair, you see that empty frame there? That is where that's going. I'm gonna actually print that out. I need to print out a lot of stuff actually for them frames. But yeah, with the Vanity Fair thing, Nyasha kind of just mentioned it to me. He was like, oh, there's this guy, he wants to like interview us for like a magazine. I was just like, okay, go ahead, whatever, like give me the day. At the time I was actually in Barbados and I was just thinking, oh, like I've got to come out from the gorgeous sun to like talk to this person. And then I get on the call and this guy's like, oh, we're from Vanity Fair. I'm like,
got your ass right. You got straight, didn't you?
Like, I would. He's not. Do you know, to this day, Nyasha is not gassed about that. He does not care about it at all. Like,
right.
Thing he'll mention, but I'm always like, we were a big Vanity Fair. Maybe it's just because I'm a journalist and I like, you know, I freelance, and I was so gassed and it was amazing. Yes. We weren't in the print one, but we're on the online one. So I need to print out the PDF of the online one. But yeah, absolutely amazing. Like, you could not tell me I am not goated because I have been in Vanity Fair magazine. So yeah. And what was the other question? Oh, and Miro. Miro was great to work with. Like, he actually reached out to us and he was like, listen, like, I want to be on the pod. And me thinking, raw, like, wait, like, I didn't know who he was at first as well, because Nyasha kept saying to me, oh, Kid Miro, like, just tweeted about how he wants to go back to back with Tandy or something. I was thinking, who's Kid Miro? Like, don't you think that's weird? Like, some random guy online saying he wants to go, like, who is this guy? And then one day he was like, oh, just the Kid Miro. So I was like, let me Google him. And I was like, wait a minute, he's actually a big deal. And right. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm not online like that. Yeah, thank you. So okay. I think it's definitely a friendship now. He has some of my merch, and I'd hope he'd come back on if I was to message him. Yeah. Great guest though. Yeah.
Good shit. Sheldon, you up next. I'm gonna lower your hand. You got the mic. Unmute yourself. Sheldon, you know. I don't want to have to pass you up, bro. I'm about to pass you. You got till 3, 2, and you out of there. Just put your hand back up, Sheldon. Musa done snuck back in. Musa, you got the mic. I'm going to lower your hand. Unmute yourself. Go ahead, Musa. You got it.
Sorry, I'm just struggling with my mute button.
You good? Go ahead, bro.
Tandy. Hey, Tandy. Who are your two favorite drivers on the grid currently?
Oh, not including Lewis, Musa.
Yeah, let's throw Lewis and Yuki out.
Oh, okay. We're also throwing Yuki out. Damn. Okay. Pierre Gasly.
Oh, yeah.
And I am going to say, wait, let me think about this carefully.
Shit rough, huh? He took your others. He took like two of your favorite guys, like right out of there. Who's it going to be?
That is such an odd question, because I don't rate many of those men on that grid.
Oh, damn.
Nah, I don't. Like, I think the one.
I would think that you could probably go for somebody who's like, no, like really probably don't take you either way. Like K-Mag can't take you either way.
No.
K-Mag can't take you either way. No. You know, Hulk no. can't take you either way. What about Albon? No?
I'll go for the second Red Bull driver. Yeah.
Perez, Checo.
I'll go for Perez. I'll go for Checo.
I thought you was thinking about Yuri Vips.
Oh, and Joe. I like Joe as well. I like Joe.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But I'm gonna go for the second Mercedes driver. The second Red Bull driver. I'm gonna have to, because
you almost somebody needs smoke. To
stick up for him. His own team's not sticking up for him. So yeah.
Let's go, Checo. I heard that. Tandy say she with you. That's what I'm talking about. Sheldon, I'm gonna come back to you. I'm gonna give you a second chance, bro. You got the mic. I'm going to lower your hand. Unmute yourself.
Hey.
Boom. How you doing? He made it. What's up, Sheldon? Pop it tall.
What's
bro.
Up? What's How up? You doing? I guess this question, is for both of you guys. Both you guys can respond. I know we kind of heavy on Mercedes on this podcast, but I had a a question on a Honda. I know you have that Acura Integra. You know, it looking nice. Keep bringing those pictures on Instagram. I love it.
Appreciate it, bro.
I have a Honda motorcycle myself. I'm kind of a Honda fanboy when it comes to motorcycles. But do you guys believe Honda as a whole is the most, because I think so, the most disrespected manufacturer in Formula One? And just hear me out. Disrespected now number one by Red Bull right now. Disrespected by the commentators, how they cover the sport. When they first came out and they were with McLaren and they wasn't that good, Alonso used to drag them in the media. And it really wasn't their fault. You know, actually their design for the split for the turbo, their design, well, even before the turbo, their design for the engine was rejected by McLaren, and McLaren actually built the original engine. And then when it wasn't working, you know, they dragged Honda all in the media, and the media went along with it. Even though McLaren actually designed and built the original motor and rejected Honda's plans, they actually have more input in the building of that engine than Red Bull has in the building of this engine right now. Mm-hmm. But after they ran Honda out, here they come back in now and actually designed, build, and maintain an engine. And now they call it a Red Bull powertrain engine. So just wondering your thoughts on, you know, how Honda, even the commentators call it a Red Bull instead of calling it a Honda, an HRC car. Yeah. So I just wanted your take on how the commentators and Formula One as a whole just disrespect Honda.
Roger that. Ladies first.
First of all, nice to meet you. You know a lot about Honda. I also didn't realize that my team's being beaten by a Honda engine. Fucking no.
Honda power.
Yeah, God almighty.
Fucking facts. And I love it. I do like that part.
Major side eye. Then they are disrespecting Honda. 100%. Do you know what? After every tweet I see them tweet, I'm going to make it a point to say, at Honda, thank you.
Right.
But you know what? If it was a Mercedes or Honda engine, you know, we would be showing love. We would be showing a lot of love.
Got you.
I'll pass it to Jay.
I think it's a good-ass question, by the way. But yes, first thing I want to say is bullshit. Bullshit, bullshit. Red Bull powertrains ain't even powered a go-kart yet. I wouldn't put a Red Bull powertrains in my daughter's race car for the first race just to try out for sponsorship. I'm telling you, right? I'd be too afraid that the racing suit that I have for her is not flame retardant enough to protect her from whatever may blow up in that motor that had nobody's really seen do anything, okay? They're going to do an over badge, and Honda literally, aside from Adrian Newey and his genius in engineering and development and design, the Honda power unit is one of the main reasons why Red Bull is where they are. All right. And for them to try to go and do a rebadge and do the HRC and then come back, it just shows, it further substantiates Sheldon, his take on that about Honda being disrespected. And I think some of that comes from like a good old boys power unit club type thing. If you're not a McLaren, it's not Ferrari, it's not Mercedes, it's not built like Euro, then it's kind of like they're getting that, you know what, you the stepchild. But the truth is, Honda develops very good units out here in the public. I mean, I've seen so many Honda engines with 300 plus thousand miles in them. I don't know how many Mercedes cars you're going to see with 300 plus thousand miles and still run like they're supposed to run. No slight to Mercedes. I'm just saying, when I was going through college, I was working as a mechanic at Jiffy Lube doing the side jobs, and a lot of the Mercedes came in that was raggedy after so many mileage. So I'm just saying, and the Ferrari, you got to think about, like, Ferrari's like one of those clubs. It's like one of those cars that you want to own, but you don't want to own. You have to literally want to be able to deal with the problems to be your, the Ferrari problems are like something you brag about to somebody who don't know about real car problems. Mm-hmm. You brag about Ferrari problems to me, I'm like, that shit sucks. Like, Jay Leno doesn't even want to own a Ferrari because of the situations and how they've sued some of their clients. Honda overall is a good company as far as public, and they are doing a great job in Formula One, and therefore they should receive all those accolades that they've been getting. Yeah. And that's right. That's right. I'm still sticking with the B20 VTEC Sheldon, and that wide body kit is still going on. We're doing a lot of metal work. So yeah, I'm going to have more progress coming for that. But good question. Uno, you up next. I'm going to lower your hand. Unmute yourself.
Yeah. My question is, right? how do you actually feel about more colored women doing like what you are doing as well on the podcast, as well as presenting F1 with, apart from like we got Naomi Schiff, is it? Mm-hmm. Naomi Schiff. How do you actually feel that there should be more women in the love of the sport and carrying on, you know, this interest to get more people to be really interested and take part in more of the sport?
Yeah, I honestly, it was refreshing to see Naomi, but it's even more telling to see, you know, like there was recent, some recent quotes from Naomi and the way the internet just jumped on her. It could have been Jenny Gao who did that and they would not have jumped on her that fast. Like, and that's why you need more Black women to have backed her, because even, you know, it's one of those things where Naomi's quotes were kind of sketchy, but, you know, we'll tell her off in secret. We won't bash her in public. What the fuck is that?
Right.
So I definitely think for that reason, as Black women, we do need to rally together. I'd love to see more Black women on my TV because there's so many Black women who talk about Formula One. I did not know there was just this massive fan base of South African women who are into Formula One. Those are the people who need to be up there, right. You know, and you've got gorgeous women from America who I've met through it. You've got people like me in the UK. Do you know what I mean? 100%.
Like, I totally feel that. And Naomi, I'm going to tell you, if you're watching this, I really don't appreciate you turning me down on the invite. But the door's still open if you want to come back this way. And Susie, I really do appreciate you getting back with me. At least you have the right to call me back and say, no, Jay, I don't want to go on a date with you right now. I don't want to pod date with you. But at least Susie Wolf hit me back. You know what I'm saying? Naomi just like didn't even respond to me. Big shout out. But I'm always here as a component. So like really... progress and push and promote, you know, women's abilities, period, out here. So anybody want to reach out, hey, Wolfpack will put you up. I know I'm a little bit different, but trust me, if you're on my side, you're on my side, and I'm gonna represent you with pride. So believe that. So we got Mary Beanie. Lower your hand. Musa's gonna back door us. He's gonna let us out. Uno, you came in too late, brother. Mary, lower your hand. Unmute yourself. You got the mic.
Okay. Asked nationalist question, Tandy. Mm-hmm. How much influence do you think Newey's had with the Aston Martin, you know, in his consultancy role? How much do you think input that he's had on that Aston Martin car? Because going through, I'll use Jay's word here, shitbox last year to now.
Mm-hmm. Mary, this is one of those...
That's good question.
...situations, you know? Influence.
Spirit fingers.
Looks good on the storyline, doesn't it? It looks great for Netflix. How much influence? I think he's definitely seen it. I think if we put fingerprints, dusted a few prints, we definitely see a few of his prints right on that carbon fiber.
That's what I'm
and I also
about.
Think, you know, this it plays well. You know, you approach a doting father who has put his son in Formula One. He has a team. You approach him, you say, listen, I got two bargains for you. I'm going to make you the second car on the grid. And I'm going to put your son in a spotlight. Not only am I going to put him in a spotlight, I'm going to put him next to a legend, Alonso. If you just... You know, and that's what I believe happened in the trade. So the influence you speak of, Mary, definitely happened.
I like the spirit fingers. That's really good. I like it. It's like magic. Like voila. You know what I'm saying? Will Harris, you got it, man. Unmute yourself. I'm going to lower your hand. Musa's going backdoor, so he's going to take us out. So Musa, you better make it a good one, because usually we'll end up backdoor. So you got a tough act to follow, bro. So Will, go ahead. Lay it out, bro.
All right. I'll start off with just the from the Mercedes slander. Don't forget, there was a car back in like it's a long time ago. Back in like what was it, late 80s, early 90s, they had the 190. Mm. So you've probably seen those come through bulletproof,
put okay, a good okay.
100,000 on them. But hey, the nickname to that car was the Hammer. So you touché. See the correlation there, you bring it back now to Lewis Hamilton. It's Hammer time. It's been in the DNA for a long, long time over there. my last question is about the upcoming Albert Park that's coming up in not this weekend but the following weekend, and they're bringing in that fourth DRS zone, which they didn't bring in last year because of the safety concerns and everything, but they're going to finally bring that fourth DRS zone in. And that's going to create the double DRS zones like they have at like Hungary. There's a couple of tracks that have those where you hit one zone and there's no detection zone in between the next, and you just follow up to the next one. So it's just back to back. If you catch the first one, you get to catch the next one. And I was wondering with that, with them bringing that to Albert Park, I guess, what were your thoughts on having that there? If that will, because I didn't really think about it until someone brought it up to me this morning about just the quality of the race. I think it was Jay Star. I think she had brought it up and we were talking about that and whether or not that will affect maybe the quality of the race, given that they've already taken out the chicane and added that DRS zone there. Will it just be one of those, we'll just have a boring race now, just a DRS train? What are your thoughts?
Keep changing everything. I have not actually thought about this. Is a very question. But no, I hadn't actually even thought about it. But now that, yeah, they just keep changing so much. Like, it's not making sense. And a lot of these things they keep changing. Does it benefit a certain car? Am I crazy? Have I lost my head?
No, that's not a thing. Although some people could probably debate that Red Bull will be so far ahead, DRS won't matter to them. It'd be like third
some
and back.
Some people could debate, Jay. Some people could debate.
I'm just saying.
Some people could.
Right. You know, it's like they be DRS to each other. But I think, like, Tandy, if she has it, I'll take it. I think we're going to see something similar to, like, a NASCAR. I think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be very interesting. I don't think it's going to be very interesting. I think if you got the next with one detection zone, I mean, if you get by that guy, he's got DRS in the next zone and then he's coming by you, and everybody in the midfield at this point in time, aside, you got Red Bull, you got everybody else, and then everybody's so tight right now, which is something that we were looking for to be evidential last season as far as this new generation and philosophy of cars to follow closer. It seems like that's come more to fruition right now. So I think with that kind of developing this season, you're going to see cars swapping and not going nowhere. They're just going to swap. Yeah. And then, you know, it's going to happen. You're going to see Aston's definitely going to be up there. Mercedes will have the opportunity to be up there. Ferrari. And then you'll see Williams, Haas, and Alpine. And then you'll see damn McLaren. And, you know, just probably they just be, you know, back there. Lando could prove himself or get a piece of humble pie. But I do think that's a good, interesting thing they did. They did initiate, they did bring it, but then they never really, they retracted it. So you're right about that, Will. And I thought they should have just kept it so they could see what the hell it was going to do then. But we'll see what happens. I don't think it's going to be anything like we saw in Jeddah with the improvements they made on the corners and taking the barriers back so drivers could have better visibility and in turn 22. So those things showed up there in a nice fashion. I don't think it's going to be the same at Melbourne Park. So Musa, you going back doors, bro. You taking us out the Wolves then, man. Go ahead and make it a good one. Then I'm going to close out, let Tandy do her thing.
Tandy Sibanda, my final question to you.
Gosh, we've got the formal things out. Musa, me and you are friends already. Got the formal name going.
I have to call you. I have to say it properly, you know. I had two other questions and I just felt like... they're just too ahead, you know, into the future. But I think this one will have more of an impact. You're a journalist, right? And as a journalist, you have to have the ability to see a lot of things ahead of time and kind of be a person that has the intellect to predict things. What would you think... having the South African Kyalami Grand Prix would do for the sport of Formula One?
I think, first of all, what it would do for South African tourism, first of all. I think that's the main bit. Like, I love South Africa. It's my favorite holiday destination. And so what it would do for the tourism, first of all, I think... like the introduction of all these races, it's like, you know, Formula One, it's also like money orientated, like everything runs about money. So I think the main difference you would see is for the tourism. However, it's still going to be exactly the same as everything else. Like, it's not going to be something that people kind of look at and say, like, look how far we've come, because it's going to be the same people there. Do you know what I mean? But great for the tourism, probably. But I would love to see a South African GP. I think, as I said, there's a large South African Formula One following, like yourself. A lot of the girls and the women who interact with Quickstop F1 are South African women. So I think it's great for them, for something to come to their city. But I think the main thing is just concentrate on the fact that it'd be great for South African tourism. Other than that, everything else is just going to be all about the money with Formula One.
Mm. Yeah, most definitely. I just think that locally in the country, it's a huge, diverse crowd, you know, that loves, you know, you have a lot of people of different backgrounds that love, you know, Red Bull, that love Merck, you know, that love McLaren. And just like you're saying, I think you hit it on the nail. It would definitely, I think it would blow everything up. I love how man like Nasha was saying it. So it would definitely be something great. I think they would probably appreciate it quite greatly. But we'll see.
Yeah.
I have no doubt that it will happen in the future. But
yeah, you know, definitely happening.
It's a money thing. It's a money thing and stability.
Big shout out. Appreciate that, Musa.
Yeah. Thank
appreciate
you.
That. So Tandy, do your thing, you know, let these people know when they come support you and come see you on the regular, you know what I'm talking about?
So this is for the Mercedes fans and all. Keep your head high. Stay delusional. You can find me at Quickstop F1. You can also find me at Tandy Tweets on Twitter. I am TandyD on Instagram, but if you go on the Quickstop F1 Instagram, you'll definitely see me there. If any of you guys are fans of TikTok, we are trying to build the Quickstop F1 TikTok, so please follow the Quickstop F1 TikTok. You can find me on YouTube, Quickstop F1. We are on Apple, Spotify, anywhere you can listen to a podcast, we are there. I would definitely recommend running up those YouTube views, because you get to see, like, sometimes, like, we reference a lot of stuff that needs to be visually seen as how we were describing it. So I always do say the YouTube is the best. But thank you so much for actually having me, because I just sometimes want to talk Formula One on a Wednesday, and you guys have been the best people to talk to, I think.
Damn, big shout out. Appreciate that, Tandy. So she's doing her thing. We did our thing. It wasn't too bad, was it? It wasn't too bad. Right.
Jay, do you have a Quickstop F1 t-shirt yet?
No, I don't.
Why the hell is he not sending you a Quickstop? See,
I don't know.
If you were in a group chat with me, I made sure y'all was
popping bottles with your boy. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, like,
you know, y'all was getting drunk as hell. Let me see this tattoo.
Well, we haven't done it yet, but we're going to do it.
Oh, I thought y'all got so drunk you did go.
No. Oh, my God.
I was going to say, holy shit.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but
that's one hell of a lunch.
Remind him that he said he was going to get it done, so he has to get it done.
You know, man, you know how that she is. But hey, this has been another Wolves Den. Listen, if you're wondering, you watching this right now, YouTube, like, damn, why I couldn't ask a question, it's because you're not in. And if you're not in, you're not VIP. And if you're not VIP like the rest of my family members that you see rocking with me, you can do that. You got to holler at them. No, you got to see how to get in, sign up. YouTube membership lets you into the Discord group, which they go crazy in there sometimes. I just like, damn, I got to let them have it. And I'm giving my community, my family, the rule is around here, it's a round table. Nobody got the edge. Nobody sit at the head. We all just kind of make this happen together with love and peace. So big shout out to you, Tandy. Thank you so much for coming to spend some time with us, little sis. And we're going to be back again with another F1 Minute live show. This is the show I open it up to you haters, too. You haters can come on, like y'all in the comment section with your quarterly fingers. F1 Minute allows you to call in live and get it. Jay, let me hear what you got to say. That's going to happen every Monday. So again, Wolves Den, and we out. Peace.